Welcome everybody to the Super Bowl sit rep. Just kidding. Sunday sit rep, you guys. This is, for those of you guys that keep track of our release calendar, things like that, this was not a planned, not a scheduled sit rep release. For those of you that are listening to that, not understanding what that means, basically we do a Sunday sit rep at the beginning of each month. The first Sunday of every month is a sit rep or situation report episode that allows us to discuss some current events, whether they're political or, world impacting, things like that. Stuff that is not necessarily something that we would fill an entire regular pod discussion episode with, but things that need to come to the forefront all the same, things that are time sensitive or breaking news, stuff like that. I like to try and bring that forward. We do additionally sometimes release extra sit reps. Last month, I believe we had two. And I think that, you know, we just recorded one last weekend, and it is absolutely worth it to record one this weekend, as we have a executive order released a couple days ago at the time of this recording by President Donald Trump, protecting, and it's literally titled Protecting Second Amendment Rights. Very simple, very straightforward, very to the point. Now, a lot of people have, and we'll get into this obviously in today's discussion in just a moment, a lot of people have been critical on Trump's two-way stance. People have been concerned with some of the actions and things he took in his previous term as president, right, with the bump stock ban. And a lot of people had some questions when we basically found out that, you know, Dettelbach was stepping down as, or retiring rather, I think, as director of the ATF. And the gentleman that was brought in was the interim director the last time around, who we had all kinds of issues with around brace bans and other, you know, other things. So, yes, Donald Trump is a Republican president, and historically speaking, Republicans very, you know, pro Second Amendment, support the NRA and things like that. Right? We can look at the legacy behind all of that, but the I think generational assumption that a Republican president would help defend gun rights, I don't think that assumption was necessarily present or anticipated here with the Trump presidency. Now, there were comments on the campaign trail that could indicate that, right? So maybe some people were pretty hopeful, and certainly I don't think it could have gotten necessarily worse than what we experienced with the Biden administration. But there's some things to unpack here. We're going to talk about the executive order. We're going to talk about kind of the recent history of executive orders and whatnot on this installment of the Sunday sit rep, you guys. Before I get into everything that we're going to unpack this week, we are a sponsored podcast, and I want to tell you guys all about some of our outstanding partners that help make this content possible. And that starts with our good friends over at Custom Night Vision, you guys. Night Vision is, you know, I used to hate this saying, but it's so accurate. It's so damn true. It is the superpower that you can buy. And if you're interested in that proposition, I implore you, head on over to customnightvision.com. If you don't know what implore means, it means I'm strongly recommending, I'm strenuously suggesting that you go over and check out customnightvision.com. Right at the homepage, right on the landing page there, you have two buttons. You can pick between monocular devices. You can pick binocular devices. It just depends on what you're looking for, what's your budget, really what it comes down to in your heart of hearts, what is going to make you happy. And they have it all over at Custom Night Vision. Whether that's your very first unit and you're balling on a budget, so you need something like a Photonis commercial spec green PVS-14, hey, they have you covered. If you got a little bit more money, you want to get into something like an L3 PVS-14 or a Tonto or any of these new, you know, MH-14s that are coming out from Low Light Innovations, right? These single tube devices that a lot of companies are pushing the boundaries and innovating with. Custom has them in stock. If you guys are looking for dual tubes like the MH-1s, like the Manticore from Nocturne, or some of the older but battle-worn and battle-proven designs like the RNVGAs or just the regular old fixed-bridge RNVGs from AB Night Vision, the team at Custom will take care of you guys. Again, it's customnightvision.com. Head over. There's a great chat function built into the site. Lower right corner, you can talk to the team. You can ask them the questions, even if it's just for clarity. Hey, what battery does this unit take? I couldn't find it on the site. I'm not sure, and I just want to make sure it lines up with everything else I have. Or, hey, does this have automatic pod shut off? Does it have, you know, IPD stops? Is that something I can add later, like the DTNVSs? Whatever it is, the team at Custom is there to provide the most transparent buying experience possible. One more time, you guys, customnightvision.com. Also, a huge thank you to our friends over at American Defense Manufacturing. The website is admfg.com. I actually just spent several hours out on the range shooting their 13.9 Mod 2, and it performed really, really well. Took the time to group out some 55 grain Frontier and then some 62 and 77 grain OTM from AAC. Just wanted to see what that Criterion Core barrel, what that performs like, what ammo it likes at 100 yards, confirmed zero on my 1-6 optic and things. Performed absolutely beautifully. And that's not even with one of their lowers that come factory with a Geissele 2-stage trigger. The uppers are fantastic. Like I said, Criterion barrel, Raptor charging handle, their own in-house brand and blend of bolt carrier group. A very, very accurate and reliable weapon system, you guys. Enjoyed shooting the heck out of it. Did not enjoy the 24 degrees and the ice rink under the overhang at the range, but that's what we do here in Michigan. We're super happy to be able to partner with the folks at ADM and run their great, great products. Again, it's admfg.com. Third here, want to say thank you to Jared and the entire cadre over at Orion Training Group. You guys, the website is oriontraininggroup.com. A fantastic collection of educators that are very, very passionate about bringing their experience, their skills, their knowledge to civilians like you and I, as well as law enforcement and military. But more importantly, and most importantly, in my opinion, they are willing to share this with civilians that are seeking to be better prepared and more capable. Again, the website is oriontraininggroup.com. At the website, you can read and learn about all of the cadre members, their history, their experience, what they're bringing to the table, and give you just a little taste of what you might be able to expect in a course. And speaking of courses, they have all of them listed out, most of 2025 already accounted for, and they will be soon releasing their Midwest tour calendar. They'll be back up here in Michigan in May for a class. So if you guys are in my neck of the woods or close, you want to jump in on the class, make sure you guys keep an eye on that website. Again, it's oriontraininggroup.com. Head over to the website, check it out for yourself, and pick up a class or two. And certainly here, last not least, some very, very good friends of mine is a team over at 100 Concepts. The company motto, you guys, is do good, be dangerous, live free. They want to bring great solutions, great products, great tools to you and I, civilians, American citizens out there who are seeking to be better, more capable men to protect our home, to protect our families. And they take this stuff to heart and they take your feedback and input to heart, you guys. If you don't believe me, head on over to 100concepts.com. That is their website. You can check that out for yourself. You can see from their first generation of their standardized light cap and scope cap, where they use shock cord and ranger bands, to the development of their shock collar system, because people really didn't like fighting with the ranger bands and needed something easier to install, something that was easier to adjust. And then they moved to their ruggedized style of light caps and scope caps that are quieter, they're more durable, they're more in line with what the end users needed, with what the end users wanted, you guys. Again, it's 100concepts.com, a fantastic bunch of people making some great stuff that's helping folks like you, me, LE, military, all of us, right? They want to defend our great country, defend our homes, be better, providing us just some great, great products, you guys. Check out the website, pick up some new kit for yourself, and like I said, do good, be dangerous, and live free. Excuse me. Okay. Oof. Let's go ahead and get into it here. I got my coffee going. Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday, right? I know it's always weird when I bring up football because I feel like in our demographic, our community, a lot of people hate the NFL or they just don't like sports in general, which I don't really get, because I feel like a lot of us were raised with sports, and for a lot of people, it's, you know, it's like the first introduction into team-based activities is sporting events, sports, you know, and organized sports is good. I think the professional side, you can appreciate one without loving the other. I'm not saying that you're, you know, wrong either way, but Super Bowl Sunday, you know, unfortunately, my Lions did not make the cut. We ended our postseason run after just a single game in the divisional round against Washington. Very, very upset, very heartbreaking. On to next year, as we Lions fans used to say back when we sucked, and I guess we'll again now that we don't suck quite so much, but it's the Chiefs, it's the Eagles. I don't want to see either team win, but if I had to choose, it would just make my day to not have to deal with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce going through what I anticipate to be an engagement level affair in the end zone if the Chiefs, you know, make history and win three Super Bowls in a row. It's just sickening. So I guess I'm a Philadelphia fan for today. I do have a lot of friends in the Pennsylvania area. So, you know, guys over at Keystone Tack and, you know, Dylan Ruth, those guys, you know, over in the Keystone State, Pennsylvania. I guess I'm an Eagles fan today. I don't know if they even watch football. They're Eagles or Steelers fans or whatever the hell's going on, but today is Super Bowl Sunday, but that is not what we're here to talk about. So hopefully I didn't lose too many of you guys with my little rambling there, but it was important to get this release out today. With some of these executive orders and things, I don't always like to quote-unquote strike while the iron's hot, because we have seen in some instances where the White House will issue an executive order and then very, very shortly thereafter, there's some kind of like I guess injunction, and that might not be the correct legal term for what happens, but essentially somebody will take it immediately to some kind of a court, whether that's an appellate or you know, whatever. They'll take it to a court, and they will have an injunction issued, and you got to go, you know, it begins the legal process, the legal battle. Given how this is worded and that it's more a directive of things to come rather than actual action being taken, that did not happen with this. So this was issued on February 7th. So today's February 9th, Sunday, February 9th. So this came out on the 7th, and I have this pulled up, and this is on whitehouse.gov, you guys. So you can go look this up, and actually I urge you to utilize the resources that are out there on the internet. I'm not saying that you never necessarily need to believe everything that they say, but it's a good resource. I feel like sometimes we skipped whitehouse.gov the last 4 years because we didn't believe the accuracy of anything that administration was putting out. I think their, you know, rotating circus of press secretaries did a very good job of manipulating their language and their statements to conceal facts. That's just my opinion. You guys can tell me I'm wrong. You can tell me that they all do it. Until I see a stronger example of that with this press secretary for this new administration, I'll at least try, you know, I'll at least put in the effort for a little bit here, since it hasn't even been a fucking month yet. I'll at least give them the benefit of the doubt here. So I'm going to read this to you guys, and we're going to talk about it kind of as we get through it. So starts, as many do, by the authority vested in me as president of the as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered, section one is purpose, the Second Amendment is an indispensable safeguard of security and liberty. It has preserved the right of the American people to protect ourselves, our families, and our freedoms since the founding of our great nation. Because it is foundational to maintaining all other rights held by Americans, the right to keep and bear arms must not be infringed. So it's really a restatement in that first section of what we all, I think, or I feel very comfortable assuming what we believe in our hearts to be the core of the Second Amendment. It cannot be infringed, and it is foundational to protecting all other rights. We make the, it's not a joke, but it's become a very commonplace statement or turn of phrase, right, to say that the Second Amendment protects the First. The First Amendment obviously being the right to free speech or freedom of speech, whatever you want to call it. And once we lose free speech, it tends to lead to a lot of other larger problems, especially when you look at history. You know, I mean, look at country. I don't want to just keep it. It's so convenient, though. Goddamn, you know, Nazi Germany, right? When they, as soon as they got up and rolling and really had a head of steam behind them with their movement and their political party and everything, they made great strides in in rolling back the voice of the people. And making decisions around what you could and couldn't say. And certainly not the only example. And not even, you know, we don't have to go that far back in history. There's countries in the world today where you cannot speak against the government. They limit and control things you say. I think probably the best modern examples of that would be maybe like China, where there are certain websites and applications and services that the people of China cannot access because they do not believe in freedom of information. They don't believe in freedom of speech. So good to see that that's kind of where we're starting with this and recognizing and acknowledging the impact and the importance of the Second Amendment as it pertains to protecting all other rights of not our country, but of the citizens, right? We, the people. That's really important. I like that he started it with that. And I think that that's an important distinction. And I hope we continue to see that kind of thinking, where it's a people first, and by people, I mean people, just to be clear, it is a America first, agenda, a U.S. citizen first agenda as it pertains to decisions and items and funding and work and efforts being carried out by the United States government. So moving on to section two, plan of action. This is where it gets exciting, guys. You know, it's going to outline kind of the next few steps that he's going to ask for from, you know, people within the government and the work that he wants done. So, plan of action is section two. Within 30 days of the date of this order, the Attorney General shall examine all orders, regulations, guidance, plans, international agreements, and other actions of executive departments and agencies to assess any ongoing infringements of the Second Amendment rights of our citizens and present a proposed plan of action to the President through the Domestic Policy Advisor to protect the Second Amendment rights of all Americans. So that's bullet point A in section two here. And that covers so much. So orders, regulations, guidance, plans, international agreements, and other actions. So that includes, like, let's look at this, at what this could potentially mean, what's being reviewed, what's on the table for discussion, what they're looking at. It's basically everything. Those really, really awesome opinion letters that the ATF would just write an issue and then enforce as law, those are on the table. Because that's guidance. That's guidance there. That falls into the guidance part. Regulations, the NFA. So the National Firearms Act, if you guys aren't aware, if you're just, you know, you just don't know, most people do, it's basically why you have to pay an unconstitutional $200 tax stamp to get things like a suppressor, to have a short-barreled rifle, so basically any rifle under the overall length of 26 inches, and that may vary state to state, but in essence, you know where I'm going with this, short-barreled shotguns, there's certain munitions and explosives, things like that, and then select fire weapons, you know, machine guns, basically. That's what is all included in the NFA, and then international agreements. So talking about what we can and can't import and export, because basically, when the Biden administration came in, there were several things that were done. There were several steps that were taken that made certain certain items much, much more difficult to get. So the guys that are AK fanboys, which is not me, I have a lot of respect for the guys that are, you know, obsessive about the AK platform. I think it's very unique and it's very cool. If done, you know, in unique and cool ways, that is not just, you know, Eastern Bloc, you know, weird commie bullshit. But as soon as the Biden administration came in and all this stuff with Ukraine and Russia kicked off, they'll remember the price on 7.62 went through the roof. The 7.62 round was no longer the affordable ammo that guys could buy and stockpile. And they shot AKs because it was cheaper and they, you know, insist the platform was more reliable than ARs, whatever. It turned that whole idea, that whole concept, that whole way of life within the 2A community, turned that on its head. So, also other stuff that just comes to mind is something like the airsoft flashbangs and stuff that we couldn't get because it was made in other countries that were covered by different embargoes or whatever. That's probably not the right term for what they did, but I know there was like the tag in, airsoft bangers, which a lot of people liked. A lot of people saw them. I think it was Adam from Spiritus did a great video on YouTube talking about like his go bag and using those because they were really, really accessible because they're for airsoft, but they're still about the same decibel rating as a unsuppressed rifle round. So for that kind of use and application where it's just a go bag, a distractionary device, maybe not for tactical raid applications, you know, a lot of people started looking for those. And then it felt like within 6 or 8 months after that video, maybe within a year, whatever it was, we couldn't import those anymore. I remember I spent $75 on a box of 6 of them and I hadn't been able to find them since. Now that could hopefully be changing with stuff like this. It'll hopefully help to roll back some of the stuff that we're seeing with companies like IWA, not being able to sell flashbangs or smokes and stuff to the civilian populace because of different laws and regulations and things like that. It may hopefully then also strike a blow to red flag laws and safe storage laws, because that's something that is being pushed very strongly by the Democratic agenda and is extremely unconstitutional. Yes, do I think people who are mentally unstable should have their firearms maybe, I don't know, in a more controlled way while they're dealing with some stuff for their own safety and potentially the safety of others? Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, but I would put the onus of that on the friends around those people rather than putting a law into place where it can be manipulated and changed without the direct consent and input of citizens, right? Because once it comes into law, then the lawmakers own it and control it. There's nothing we can do. Oh, you can elect, and I say it too, right? We can elect somebody new. That's not a guarantee that they'll do what we want, though. They'll tell us what we want to hear while they campaign, and then they'll just go ahead and do what their party says to keep the money flowing. So, fuck them. But yeah, that's really, really exciting. So let's move on here. So point B is, in developing such a proposed plan of action, the Attorney General shall review at a minimum, and there's a couple sub points here, so I'll rattle these off. Let's see. All presidential and agencies' actions from January 2021 through January 2025 that purport to promote safety but may have impinged on the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens. Full stop. Full fucking stop. So everything that was basically done during the Biden administration, and he calls it out in writing that he is specifically planning to look at the actions that were taken in the last 4 years. Fucking awesome. Now, I would hope that it goes further back. We're going to keep reading. I would hope it reaches further back and we address things that are like covered in the NFA. But at a minimum, with all the steps that we're taking last year to shut down ammo manufacturing places, to potentially increase taxes, like I said, red flag laws, safe storage laws, all that shit is now on the table and it's called out specifically. Point two under section or under subheading B. Rules promulgated by the Department of Justice, including the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from January 2021 through January 2025 pertaining to firearms and or federal firearms licensees. So just further like addresses like, hey, specifically, we are looking at the ATF. Number three, agencies' plans, orders, and actions regarding the so-called enhanced regulatory enforcement policy pertaining to firearms and or federal firearms licensees. Number four, reports and related documents issued by the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which is great. That is so happy to hear because they launched that office and it became like this, not really covert, but because we knew it existed, right? We never heard what they were doing though. You know, shit was going on. You know, there were opinion letters being drafted. You know, there were policies being put together. You know, the action was being taken and directives were being given to these law enforcement agencies, probably from that Office of Gun Violence Prevention, but they really did a great job at not publicizing what work it was. You really have to dig for a lot of that stuff, and most of the time we didn't become aware of it until it was like basically being packed into a bill somewhere or, you know, some really underhanded shit like that. Point five, the positions taken by the United States in any and all ongoing and potential litigation that affects or could affect the ability of Americans to exercise their Second Amendment rights. And then number six and seven here, agencies' classifications of firearms and ammunition. That's awesome. So potentially this SBR, OAW, you know, whatever the fuck, all this confusing legal jargon bullshit that really makes it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to be law-abiding. And then number seven, the process of applications to make, manufacture, transfer, or export firearms. So for a lot of you guys who are, and I have at least one friend I know, he did a beautiful job, by the way, of making his own suppressor. He told us that for the process, like he only saved himself like $400. He would never do it again because when he was creating it, because he's a person who works in like the metal industry, he had to send pictures of the lathe. Multiple pictures from different angles and things of the lathe that he used for it. He had to provide pictures and information on where he sourced the materials for it. He had to send it was this whole really just awful process where it really shouldn't be that way. Because I'll tell you guys, if you don't know how to weld, you don't know metallurgy, you don't know the science behind it, and you don't know the actual performance science behind suppressors, it is not nearly as easy to make a suppressor as people want you to believe it is. It simply isn't. And, you know, the movies don't help us. I think Out for Justice, I think, is the one with Steven Seagal where he fights the Jamaican cartel or whatever. And he has like an MP5K that there's like a montage scene of him like milling and drilling and creating his own suppressor. And it's whisper quiet. And that's just not, I mean, I guess it could be, but that's not how that works. So yeah, that's all exciting to hear because those, right off the bat, those few points there in section two really, really call out a lot of the problems that, us as, you know, freedom loving and law abiding Americans, those things are not necessarily always mutually exclusive. I saw a YouTube video the other day of, It was like a trans gun club. I want to say that maybe it was in Pennsylvania or somewhere. It was somewhere on the East Coast. I could be wrong with the Pennsylvania bit, so I'm sorry to those people that may be offended by that. I would say that those people are gun loving, but they are not freedom loving because they're. Oh, sorry, it was a socialist gun club. That's what it was, and there were just a bunch of trans people in the video, and it was really weird to watch as they all struggled with things like reloads or wearing kit or hitting a fucking target. And they all ran AKs because, you know, they're good little socialists and they do what they're told, which is, you know, comm block AKs. But I digress. So now let's look at section three of this executive order, which is implementation. And it just says very simply, upon submission of the proposed plan of action described in section two of this order, the Attorney General shall work with the domestic policy advisor to finalize the plan of action and establish a process for implementation. So this is very logical. They're going to do what they did in Section 2, which is to identify the problems. What's broken here? What's an infringement? What do we as an administration identify, or I guess the Attorney General identify, as infringements of the Second Amendment? Now, my hope is that because Trump did appoint our Attorney General, right, that she I think it's Tulsi Gabbard, but honestly, I'm not quite positive. They would look at this in a way that would be helpful and beneficial to those of us who are of the pro Second Amendment mindset. They're going to identify our infringements and problems, and then they're going to put together a plan. You know, Mr. President, here's what we've discovered. This is what we identify as issues. They're going to prioritize them and draw up a plan on how to fix it. Basically, and this is how government is actually supposed to work, you guys. It really is. I know a lot of people don't love Donald Trump for a lot of different reasons. I know it was really, really popular on social media for a long time during his last term in office, and especially towards the end of it when he was running for re-election against Joe Biden. People put up the stupid-ass fucking Facebook profile photo banners of, you know, like proud Republican voting against Trump. Proud Republican voting for Biden, you know, whatever. People just, oh, they don't like Donald Trump because he's not nice. He's not professional. You know, whatever. I think that, you know, Joe Biden ignoring the country's problems and eating ice cream and falling off his bike and ignoring the media and hiding from the people, I think that's probably worse than some mean tweets, but, you know, potentially a toupee and a rough spray tan, but what do I know? I'm just a fucking guy recording a podcast in his basement. So moving on. Section four is general provisions. This is the last section, and these are the last points of this order. So bullet A is nothing in this order shall be construed to impair or otherwise affect. And there's 2 points here. One, the authority granted by law to an executive department agency or the head thereof, or number two, the functions of the director of the Office of Management and Budget relating to budgetary, administrative, or legislative proposals. So nothing in this order shall be constituted to impair or otherwise affect the authority. So basically they can't, what that means, at least as I'm reading this, is these agencies and these politicians, these talking heads, right, these policymakers, they can't turn around and say, nope, you can't do this because it impairs the ability granted by a law to an executive department agency or head thereof. So the ATF can't turn around and say that, you know, you doing this impairs our ability to do our job. So we're just going to put a blocker in place and you're the jig is up before you ever got started. Nope, you can't say that. It's included in this order. You can't just say that because it makes our life harder or it makes our job harder or we as a agency feel that it goes against the existence of our agency, you know, self-justification and whatnot, job security, all that. You can't use that defense here. And then, so point B, this order shall be implemented consistent with applicable law and subject to the availability of appropriations. And this order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefit, substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United States, its departments, agencies, or entities, its officers, employees, or agents, or any other person. So basically, calling out, this isn't to benefit anyone specifically. And if you tie that, so that's section 3 points, you know, so 3C ties back to the very purpose of this. It's not to add anything. Because people will say that, you know, they'll argue in a court of law. This is going, the changes that come from this, you guys, make no mistake, this will end up in the courts. this will be debated in the courts. But he puts that in there very specifically, and I think it's rather smart to call out that this is not to add to anyone's rights. It is an effort to restore them, because once they're removed, it's a very classically tactical maneuver used by litigators and politicians to say that you're giving somebody a new right and you're granting them a right. This is a benefit that your party's giving them. No, it's not. It's a right as guaranteed by the Second Amendment of our founding document, the American Constitution, right? That was taken away unconstitutionally, illegally. It never should have, in other words, it never should have fucking happened in the first place. So no matter how you spin this, no matter how you wordsmith this, it does not change the fact that that was wrong. We're going to fix it. I'm not adding. That's like, and I think it speaks to, you know, a broader strategy in that regard, because if you look at what the Biden administration did with the jobs reports coming out of COVID, right? So at the end, you know, somewhere in like 2021, the country was, you know, completely opening back up. Maybe it was like late 2020, but the company was opening back up. We're getting back up and rolling. The economy is standing itself back up, right? And they came out to the press, they made releases, they made statements, these bold proclamations, and they celebrated their victory. Oh, we've had record jobs growth in the, you know, we've had the strongest economy this nation's ever seen. It's like, no, because your actions, your executive orders by your party and by your administration are what killed the economy and killed the jobs numbers, because you forced a shutdown during what at this point appears to be a manufactured pandemic. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too tinfoily with it. I really don't. But it certainly, you know, feels that way when you start to look at, well, you know, the vaccines, the testing really, it wasn't as good as it should have been. And, you know, now the stuff with Anthony Fauci isn't really as accurate as we had told people. And that's like evidenced by the fact that he was included in a pardon before he was ever charged with any crimes, which is like, you know, just insert meme. Like, what an odd thing to say. You know, like, why are you granting him a pardon before he's ever been accused, or, well, he has been accused, just not like officially, right? He's never been charged with a crime around this. So, like, why are you already pardoning him? That's kind of, it's kind of weird, right? But the administration would use that as a strategy. Oh, we killed the jobs, so our job numbers, because of a direct action, this executive orders that the Biden administration would pass, right? Let's say the jobs numbers went down 50%. Cool. So now when you open everything back up and the jobs reports come up and you have a 30% increase from that number, they go, we saw a 30% increase in the, you know, or you know, reduction in unemployment. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, yes, you did from the number that it's currently sitting at, but that's not a net gain. You're still at a net, you know, if it was down 50 and then up 30, you're still at a net loss of 20%. But you're spinning it and presenting it to the American people, to mainstream media, right? To people who are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, stupid and don't understand how numbers and statistics and things like that work, and how you have to look at the source data to understand the output you're getting. But I digress. You're actually still at a net loss of 20%. But we're just going to sit here and talk about the positives. And it, I guess, yes, it is a positive thing to some extent, some small extent, that the job number came up or the unemployment number went down or whatever, right? But it's disingenuous to say that to people. And that's why you get end up these people on CNN and people on social media saying, oh, the Biden administration did so much. Oh, Trump's success that's following is only because, and I love this, because the Democrat policies are finally had time to kick in. No policy takes 4 years to kick in. Nothing. Oh, COVID only crushed the country because of Trump's failed policies. Okay, well, I'll direct you to his first term where we had a record high in the stock market, and I'll direct you to the news of his re-election where we had, again, highs in the stock market and a record cut to interest rates, to prime rate in this country. I know it's just the financials, but, like, the country runs on money, folks. I don't know what the fuck else to tell you. You work every day to pay your bills with money. Everything works off money. Why do you think the politicians make the decisions they do? Fucking money. If you don't think that this is all comes back to money, you're dead wrong. And if you want to be critical of people that voted for Trump because of those implications, then I would say you're also wrong. Because if there's no country here left to defend and we don't have a life to live, and I'll get off the soapbox, I swear, but I think you're looking at it in the entirely wrong way. And yes, it may have been the lesser of two evils, but sometimes that's a choice you have to make as an adult. And I don't love that, to be completely clear, but I just... Yeah, at any rate, so let's get back to the point of the point of this. Like I said in the very beginning, there were some questions around Trump as a president in as it relates, right, specifically as it relates to the protection of the Second Amendment for Americans' rights. And that was something the first time around. A lot of people, like, they swore based off of how he campaigned and things that it was going to be great. And then it kind of wasn't. Excuse me. And we had things like the Vegas shooting. Terrible tragedy. Absolutely awful. Odd that we never saw the files on those, which I think it should be on the list of stuff that was it's going to be declassified by Trump, along with the JFK stuff that I think already did. So we've seen some videos and stuff already that got out. But I digress. So when the Vegas shooting went down, he banned bump stocks. He signed an executive order banning bump stocks. And I've said this before on this podcast, this won't be news to anyone, and I think a lot of you feel the same way with me, is that bump stocks are awful. They're stupid. They are pointless. I think they are built, designed, marketed, and sold to the absolute worst element of our community. Guys that just want to find the easiest way possible to, quote-unquote, go full auto and mag dump into an old refrigerator in front of a really poorly made berm, typically somewhere in the American South. And that could be incorrect. It could be anywhere in the country. But you guys get what I'm saying, right? However, I can say that and say that I think they're awful and stupid and pointless and useless. And I can also say that the ban didn't affect me personally, so I didn't necessarily mind. And I can also say that I disagree wholeheartedly with taking actions like that to restrict an item to the American people. I think you can do both. And further, I know there was news during his last, or not news, there was the idea news concept, right, during his first term of, hey, maybe we take a look at this NFA, the Hearing Protection Act or Hearing Safety Act, whatever it was, to legalize suppressors outside the NFA where people wouldn't have to pay for them. That never went through. And I think a large part of that was due to a lot of political tactics. I think the Democrats and to some extent, a few RINOs, that's Republican in name only, R-I-N-O, that didn't like Donald Trump. And largely tied up a lot of his first term in office with the red tape behind the Steele dossier, Russian collusion, all of this shit that filled basically, I would say, 75% of his presidency, that distracted from making policy, getting things pushed through, getting, you know, the work done that he wanted to do for the American people. Again, I'm trying to give the man benefit of the doubt. This executive order, again, 2 days ago, was written and issued already on whitehouse.gov. This looks like he is either learning from his mistakes or, you know, one of his policy advisors is going, this is what people said, man. This is what people were looking for. Your supporters are pro-2A conservative Americans and they want their rights back. And we did this. Maybe I'll revisit this episode. I want to say it was in like the first 50 episodes that we ever did of this podcast, which is crazy because we're coming up on number 300 in the next couple months here. And that's wild, absolutely wild to think about. But I broke it down with the different major pieces of gun legislation on the federal level. And when you put it on a scoreboard, so legislation that either, I guess, restored or protected. So, you know, did not add to, just restored or protected gun owners' rights versus the major pieces of legislation which took away, right, infringed upon our rights. And if you put it on a scoreboard, we fucking lost that battle by a score of like 3-13. And whatever fucking sport you watch, whether it's baseball, hockey, football, okay, if you lose by double digits or more, or double digits and just in general, because you can't really do more, I suppose, but that's a blowout. And it truly was. You know, I know a lot of people love Ronald Reagan for a lot of the stuff that he did. He was kind of soft on some things, and I think gun control, really, we don't have to get super into it, but a lot of that stuff started with the Reagan presidency, and it spiraled out of control from there as soon as Clinton got in office and passed the assault weapons ban that basically cut an entire decade out of guns, the guns rights movement in the United States of America. So to me, looking at this as somebody who's pro-2A, probably a little bit more tuned into this kind of thing than most Americans, right? This signals to me that the second term Trump administration is doubling down on their promises. They have seen and identified this as a major sticking point because it, you know, hey, maybe we're learning a little bit here. And if it's important to your enemy, just like in war, there's probably some value in it being important to you as well. So stuff like in battle, you know, if you guys ever watched the show The Pacific, extremely, extremely well done show. And you see the struggle of those Marines when they're fighting in the war. And I remember one, I'll never forget this scene, right, where they find puddles of, like a puddle of water, right? And they're going to go drink this dirty water because even though it's dirty, they need water. It's so hot and they're dehydrated. They're dying of thirst. It's awful. And they go to drink it. And then, you know, they find that they basically put a severed goat's head, that, you know, with maggots and stuff in the water to disease and poison that water. So you're cutting off water supply. It's a classic and perfect example. It's important to your enemies, therefore it's going to be important to you. So if taking away the gun rights of you know, of Americans, restricting those for the sake of political capital, and then obviously, yes, making it easier to control people, because while we want to sit here in the United States of America in 2025 and think that we are beyond that kind of governmental manipulation, that it's something that we are too smart in 2025 to allow to happen. The sad fact of the matter is that we aren't. You know, it's a very base concept. If you look at history, you know, the Roman Empire on to up through, you know, Nazi Germany, again, that's like twice in one episode, geez. And then yes, some South American countries, some Asian countries where, yeah, your basic citizen is not allowed to own firearms. Hell, even Europe, I guess maybe even especially Europe. Look, in Britain, the cops do not even carry guns. It is a special deal to see a police officer walking around with an actual firearm. And it leads to a lot of stupid-ass fucking problems. Now, you look at what they got going on over there. They're charging people for, you know, what they post on social media and imprisoning people for what they post on social media. It's a complete absence of freedom of speech. So, you know, doubling down on this, I think it's a good move by this administration if you're trying to win hearts and minds of people. Furthermore, it's just the right fucking thing to do. It is. Law-abiding gun owners, you know, we're not the fucking problem here. We've talked about that several times in this podcast. It's an overarching topic and an overarching concept that we all lean into and that we all believe in our hearts to be true. There are already so many laws, right, that make it illegal to carry out acts of evil with a firearm. Why does it have to be illegal? It's not going to prohibit people from getting a gun, right? We saw it during the assault weapons ban in the 90s. That's why they didn't renew it, is because it didn't have any marked improvement on the crime rates. Okay? Criminals were still finding ways to get guns. So all you were doing is making more victims by making it harder for those who wish to be law-abiding to get a firearm to defend themselves, right? That's all that these rules, these laws, these opinion letters were doing. Listen. Guys, this is a good thing, all right? I mean, I could go on and on and on for probably, you know, we're coming up on 45 minutes already, Jesus. I could go on and on about this. I really could, because it's a really big deal, and it could potentially indicate that we finally see political action taken to remove some of these blockers, these infringements against our rights. And do I think for any moment at all that every single thing on this list that gets identified is going to be done, corrected, ratified, improved? No, I don't. But given how the breadth of the scope of this, right, and how this executive order is written, the directive that was given to the attorney general, right, to examine this issue very specifically, and written in that it cannot be blocked by, you know, agency or administrative action saying that it prohibits and stops them from being able to do their job. This is serious stuff. This is going to go through. I would say if we have a 50% success rate here, I'd say it is probably the most meaningful and successful gun rights effort in the history of our country, short of the actual founding of our country, that, you know, when we passed the Second Amendment into existence. It may very well be. Now, my wish list items, can you guys just imagine for a moment how impactful it would be if we eliminated tax stamps? Because they're trying to cut taxes. That's what Republicans do, right? And that's inside and outside of the firearms community. So if we got rid of tax stamps around just SBRs and suppressors, because the tax stamp and approval process is what holds it up. You could now purchase suppressors directly over the counter. Take it home with you same day. Can you imagine how fucking wild that would be? And then SBRs, you can just build the rifle that you want. You don't have to worry about getting a stamp, getting approval, knowing the difference between where you measure. Is it from the end of the buffer tube to the threads on the muzzle or the muzzle device? Or is it the end of the stock to the muzzle? What, you know, how does it work in your state? And some of this, like these stupid California compliant laws and bullshit where you have to, you know, rack the charging handle on your AR every time, and, you know, featureless stocks and all that. And it might put some companies out of business. It might. There are some companies that exist solely around operating in this, like, stupid space that was created by some of this legislation. So that losing businesses, having places go under and stuff, that would be unfortunate, but pivot, right? You know, figure it out as a business, as a company. You know this is happening. You know that the clock on this starts now. Start prototyping other ideas and concepts. At least have it ready to go. Do a little bit of investment in future-proofing your business model. If you're not, you are failing as a business owner. And I mean, that's unfortunate. It sounds shitty to say. It's not really shitty to say. So, you know, if we can just get rid of tax stamps on suppressors and SBRs, I think that is absolutely huge. And then if they loosen restrictions or completely remove some of these restrictions on import of certain weapons platforms, I actually think that we see prices go down. And then also the ammo manufacturing piece. I know there were a lot of changes that came out of COVID. I know with Remington going under, they were a huge ammo manufacturer in the country. And I believe Palmetto State Armory bought up most of that business, if not all of it. And that's why you see the AAC ammo being so accessible. But I believe there were other administrative actions taken that shut down ammo manufacturing across the country to artificially increase the scarcity, drive up scarcity, drive up price by driving down supply. So if this... And if just those three or four things, if this can fix that, that is absolutely fucking huge. And there's so much more we could get into, guys. Caliber restrictions. Yeah. Select fire weapons, which not a big fan of, because I think most people won't commit to the proper training to know how to use them effectively, you know, in the ways that I think that we would all agree they should be used. And I don't know, that's probably like the pinnacle of the entire effort would be select fire weapons. Don't expect that to get passed. I certainly expect it to be on the list. I certainly expect it to be on the docket, so to speak, right? And I think they'll dedicate some effort to it. But if it was me, I would probably lower it in the priority list just because it's the least realistic when you're looking at the politicians that are going to have to vote on this in the House and the Senate, you know, when it makes it into an actual bill, things like that. There's a lot that gets into it. But I think that, you know, we could see a whole lot of sweeping changes. There could even be changes, you know, from this that affect the military and how they adopt pieces of gear and contracts, things like that. It can get very in the weeds when you talk about the legalities behind a lot of this stuff, how it's done, why it's done, and the very broad scope that this applies to the topic of restoring Second Amendment rights. Again, to be clear, this isn't adding anything, and he calls that out. It's restoring it. So we're trying to get back to a net zero, okay? And then maybe we talk about, you know, adding in a couple of years or something, and I say that not because it's not important to do it now, but just because I know, and we all know as Americans who have unfortunately watched the news and know how slow our fucking government and elected officials work, that it's probably not going to, it's not going to be a fast ordeal. So, like I said, best case scenario, if we hit 50%, if we're batting 500 here, guys, I think it is the most success for gun rights and Second Amendment right protection in the history of our country. And it also establishes a very powerful legal precedent that's going to make it way fucking harder for those assholes to pass gun control laws in this country. It establishes legal precedent. We evaluated this. We researched this. The Attorney General did. So we approached this from a completely legal perspective. And more importantly, guys, it takes it away from the fucking Supreme Court, because for as many good things, I think, as the Supreme Court, which is still largely the court that I think that that Trump helped to build, you know, with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and everything that went down during his last term, and everyone threw a fit because he shouldn't be allowed to appoint a president he should not be allowed to appoint a justice to the Supreme Court in his last 90 days. You know, I remember that whole fucking shit show. And then, oh, when Biden gets in, we'll just stack the court. We'll just, you know, go from, you know, we'll just keep adding people until we can basically guarantee the outcomes that we want, which is, it goes against the very founding principle of our whole legislative system. But I digress, right? The Supreme Court has not been great about hearing Second Amendment cases. They have pushed them back down to the lower courts many times. There's only been a handful that make it through, and this could essentially just take them out of the equation. You know, so that way, to some degree, we kind of preserve the integrity of the Supreme Court, and we take it out of their hands. They don't get to pick and choose what they want to hear on this. Maybe some of this stuff does make it to them, but you know, if it just gets passed into law as a bill, then that circumvents the legislative branch, unless somebody basically sues somebody and forces it into the Supreme Court. So it should be really interesting to see how this goes. It's certainly very, very exciting. And I think something that we should be very happy about. You know, I would say maybe write to your elected officials. You know, if there's ever a time where you can put in 20 minutes of effort to put together an email or make a phone call to the office of your local elected official or state elected official, your senators, your representatives, and say, I want you, when this comes around, I want you to vote in favor of whatever they find. Help them restore our Second Amendment rights. These people work for you. They are supposed to be working for your vote to keep them in the fucking job. So leverage that fact and use your power as a voting citizen of this country, and use your voice. Be heard. Speak to those people, and hopefully, right, the outcome that we get is a restored and renewed strength of our Second Amendment in the United States of America. But thank you guys so much for checking out this installment of the Sit Rep. I actually thought when I sat down to record this that it would be one of the shorter ones. I was actually thinking it was like, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes, right? And we're basically, I'm looking at the recording as I'm doing this, and we're over 50. We're getting ready to push into 52 minutes. So that's crazy. You guys know that when I get fired up about some of this stuff, I get the verbal diarrhea, and it's flowing, man, and it does not stop, and sometimes it burns. So thank you guys for hanging out. Hopefully this has been informative, if nothing else. If it spurs you guys to drive traffic to whitehouse.gov for this particular article, I'm not saying the whole website in general, but when they see, I mean, they look at all that stuff, they've talked about it on the news several times over different things. When they see that much traffic going to an issue and they evaluate that, it shows to the people making the decisions that this is important to the American people. So go check it out, read it for yourselves, reread it multiple times. I have, and really understand what it is that they're working for here and what they're striving to achieve with this effort or this series of efforts to help us, to support us as American citizens. But again, thank you guys so much for listening here. I do hope that if you guys are traveling tonight to take in the Super Bowl with friends or family, potentially, right? Both. Be safe, you guys. Make good decisions. It's always heartbreaking. I feel like every year we hear about terrible, terrible accidents because of people who overindulge at Super Bowl festivities and parties and things like that. Your family, your dogs, they want to have you around, right? So have a good time. Certainly, imbibe if that's what you do. Enjoy the game if you do like football. If nothing else, hopefully there's good commercials and a damn good halftime show. That's usually the case, but who knows? Yeah, that's all I got for you guys. Thank you again. Stay safe out there, everybody. And like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.